So I'm always thinking, like, how can I react in this moment to instill that I'm a safe place to come to so that when he's older and something big happens, it's not, oh shit, I can't tell my mom. Yeah. It's okay, I want to go to my mom because I know that she'll help me figure this thing out. Okay, guys, welcome back. If you're watching this, ignore my big zit.
And how pasty I look.
I literally just self-tanned moments before we got on this podcast.
And in a very impressive pace, too.
Oh, okay. I'll give you guys two updates. One, we took away screen time completely from Barrett. He gets zero now. It's been the best thing ever.
Was there any detoxing period for him?
No. He was, I think he just, we swapped the show with attention. Like, we're giving, like... Joey and I just like kind of sat down and we were like, okay, we need to plan out our days where in the mornings I get my stuff done and Joey is just hands on with Barrett the entire time. And then Joey will leave. Yeah. Cause Joey goes and Joey has his condo still obviously because we knew we were going to get married soon, but he still got his own place. And so he'll go there during the day and film. And so then I swap places and then I have Barrett for the rest of the day. And then like my mom is watching him right now, but he has done so well. His attention span is so much better. He will actually sit and color and read. He can do school for way longer. And now I'm like, oh my God, I've got to feel like a bad mom because I didn't realize even if he was just doing an hour a day of like just on the TV, I just didn't realize how overstimulating it was, or even like an innocent game on my phone. I don't know. He likes to play this like game where you have to jump over things. And I just didn't realize how overstimulating it was until he started getting bad anxiety. And then I was like, okay, something's got to change because.
So does he seem like calmer, like more quote unquote well-behaved, like less fits and stuff?
For sure. For sure. Yeah, because we would let him watch a show and then immediately after, he wouldn't even be mad that he had to stop watching the show, but he would just start like lashing out and acting crazy and like, saying crazy, you know, like, I hate you and whatever. And then, yeah, now he's just completely different. I think his dad does still let him watch. Like, Barrett came home because he goes to his dad's one day during the week and he came home. After work, he goes to his dad's house for one day, spends a night, comes back to me. And he did say we watched Outdoor Boys, which is just like a nature show on YouTube, which whatever, even though I did preface his dad with, you should be on board with the 100% detox too. Yeah. I think it's really good for his nervous system and he's done well, hasn't asked for a show. That's a crazy thing is he doesn't ask anymore. I think the first day maybe he like tested it. Yeah. Can I watch a show? And we would just be like, no, but we can do XYZ. And he was fine with it, but he did tell me he watched a show at his dad's last night, which whatever. But I did notice this morning during school, his attention span was a bit less. Like he couldn't handle sitting as long. I don't know if it's directly correlated, but yeah. The detox has been great. Highly recommend next time we have a kid, and I'll get into this later in the podcast, absolutely zero screen time from the jump. Yeah. Just never.
That's what we've done, except for we don't have family around, so we'll do FaceTime.
Yeah.
That's it. And there's people think that's like crazy, but there's a lot of data to support that kids should not have screens until like at least five or something.
Yeah. And all of the teachers that messaged me the other day when I said I was doing screen free, she was like, they were all women. They all said it's unbelievable how crazy kids act nowadays in school compared to, you know, our generation where we didn't have phones, we didn't have. Overstimulating shows, like they said kids can't even sit to write their name on pieces of paper. It's just
crazy.
And it's almost like parents just give like the iPad or the show as like a crutch, which I was doing too, so I'm not like judging people. We didn't do like we were just doing shows, but yeah,
and there are less stimulating shows out there that are like a better choice if you need it, but I'm so like strong in this conviction, like everyone has recommended in the car, just give her an iPad to get her to stop crying in the car seat. I'm like, no, that's not worth it to me. I'd rather just stay home for the rest of eternity.
Yeah, right. But. Yeah, and it's just so much easier to, it's just like feeding your kids healthy food. It's easier to start from the beginning so they don't know any different. Like Joey and I said, we're just, yeah, next kids we have, just there will be no screens on. And it's not even like we really watch shows. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll watch, yeah, we'll watch Love is Blind, but that's, it's not like an everyday thing where the TV is just, yeah, on in the background.
That was a big change for us because we definitely were TV watchers. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, when you become a parent, you put your selfish desires aside, I guess, yeah, to do what's best for your kids. But we now, actually now it's football season, so we'll have a football. Larry went to West Point, so we have to watch the West Point game every week. But yeah, she doesn't care about that. She doesn't even look, so. Yeah. And then on the commercials, we'll pause it, so she doesn't see any of that.
Beautiful. And it's just, I don't think we realize how big the internet is. And that leads into my second point of, I decided to stop showing Barrett's face online. But I don't think, I saw a reel and it was like, if you are giving your kid unsupervised internet access, show access, like a phone, their pornography everywhere is just at their hands. Even if they're innocent little kids, like even commercials on phone games, there's like inappropriate, mm-hmm, you know, whether it's like a half naked girl or it's just, I like don't remember ever being a kid growing up with that kind of stuff. And I know everyone always says, I have a hard rule of no sleepovers, just ever. That will never be a thing. And people are always asking me, like, why you did it when you were growing up? Nothing bad happened. But I'm like, there's 5-year-olds who are seeing pornography, mm-hmm, like consistently, or they have older siblings who have been, you know, shown graphic things. And then they're, you know, it just, kids aren't as innocent anymore. And it's just, no, it blows my mind. And yeah, if that makes me overprotective, I guess.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah, we can't protect them from it forever, but we can do our best to prolong it for sure. I, yeah, mean, I think that definitely plays into like our generation's anxiety, the porn, mm-hmm, thing, like being shown porn at 5, 6, yeah, that fucks with your head. That, mm-hmm, is not healthy. And I think the constant stimulation of always looking for that next quick dopamine fix, because that's what phones give us, right?
Yeah.
Those like constant, a reel, a 30-second reel is too long for some of us to watch. That's crazy, like how
yeah,
poisoned our minds have been. So I definitely think our generation of anxiety and not wanting to go out and live life and like comparing ourselves to everybody, it definitely goes back to our,
yeah,
phone usage and computer.
I talked to my therapist about this because I'm just so, I'm not a strict mom, or I'm not like a helicopter mom, but when it comes to his like mental safety or like being harmed in like a physical way, when it comes to other people with my child, yeah, I'm extremely overprotective. Mm-hmm. And I was talking to my therapist about it, and I was like, I know I can't control everything, but I'm like, I feel the need to. Even when he started school, I was like, I'm just thinking worst case scenario. What if he says, teacher, I have to go potty, and he goes upstairs to go potty, and then another older kid follows him? Mm. You know, it's just like, I am constantly thinking of all the bad things that can happen. Yeah. And she kind of told me like, okay, realistically, is that probably going to happen? No, because there's parents who sit upstairs and like monitor, just because the teacher likes to have someone there in case of an emergency. But she was like, you know, not everyone else's kids are, you can control, but you can tell Barrett things like, hey, if someone ever, you know, if someone does something and it makes your stomach feel funny, it's probably not a good idea. Mm. Or, you know, if someone shows you something and you feel like you wouldn't want to show your, like another person or a parent, you need to go tell your mom. Or just like, she was trying to give me tips of, yeah, we can't protect our kids always, but we can help our kids differentiate. This is wrong. This is a wrong feeling versus, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because some the kids are just so innocent. Sometimes they like, they don't know that, yeah, something is bad.
Yeah. Wow. That was a good, yeah, good point. And I feel like as the kids like get older too, we can explain more. Like when they start to understand more, like we can explain, yeah, more like why we're doing these things. And
yeah, for sure.
And now you've stopped posting Barrett online.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to talk about that?
Yeah. I think when I started social media, Barrett's never been the focal point of my, mm-hmm, social media ever. There's never, you know, like weekly, yeah, reels or stuff, but I would post him on my story. And then I started, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, I started just like, I would be like about to post him and then be like, wait, this feels weird. Like, I don't want to show his, like, I feel exposed for him. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of like really dialed back on that. Like anytime I felt the conviction to not post it. it would be like him riding his bike and I would still just be like, this feels weird.
Yeah.
So I kind of like really took it back. And then that incident with that other influencer who lost her son. And I just I see every day people just like tearing her apart and eating her alive. And people are posting videos of, you know, the son from past. And I'm just like, I feel so exposed for that mom and that child, and I don't even follow them. Like, it's just, you know, so I didn't really realize how big the internet was. And now I'm definitely pro never showing kids' faces. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you can still show your life on the internet without exposing your child.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I've never posted her ever. Mm-hmm. I like felt weird about posting her name, but I just wanted to talk about how much I love loved her name. I think I've only posted it like one time.
Yeah.
But it's scary. It's scary that literally a million strangers could be looking at your child. But then we have to think of the percentage of those strangers that like do nefarious things with that picture of your child. And there's AI bots now that will take your face and put them on their face and put them on sex dolls or make porn, AI porn with your child's face. I don't think people are grasping. I had this man message me, and I know him. He's from my hometown. And I had posted about how I'm not putting my kid on there because of pedophiles or whatever. And he messaged me, and he has three daughters or something. He was like, why do you care about posting them? Like, it's not going to directly affect them if someone else is like looking at them. He's like, I want to start an account about our chickens and I want that to go big, but if it's not directly affecting my daughters, I don't mind posting them. And I'm like, that's so bizarre to me that you're basically saying you don't care if a stranger jerks off to the pictures of your daughters because they don't know it's happening. That's disturbing.
Well, also, not even that, but that can turn into, what if someone stalks your kids? What if you're, you know, they get trafficked Joey does have a stalker. Yeah. And that was another reason where I was like, okay, what if we're out in public or Barrett's with someone else in public and this stalker recognizes my kid and like tries. And so I was just like, yeah, we're done. We're
done posting. People can find locations. There's this one account and he's got a huge account, and his whole account is people will send him like a random little picture of a tree. And he can find exactly where that location is just from that one picture. And so imagine posting your neighborhood or whatever, which I do on my walks, but like.
Same.
It's.
Joy and I had that combo this morning because I was like, what is the line I'm drawing with the new house? Because there's so many beautiful things I want to show. Like, our backyard view is absolutely insane. And I was just like, if I show this, am I setting us up for whatever? And Joy was like, I don't really think that's a big deal. But like, we definitely did take extra precaution with this house. We have security cameras in even if there's EMFs, I just don't care. Well, they're hardwired, but we have security cameras like surrounding like 360 outside, same with any, you know, inside, like we have cameras inside getting a pew pew. Like, we're doing all the precautions because I'm getting nervous.
Yeah. Rightfully so. And there's crazy people out there. Yeah. And I know some people probably listen like, oh, like you think you're so cool. Like you've got to, you know, like people are going to care that much to go about you, but you don't know. Like,
Joey has a stalker. It's literally do have people who are obsessed with our family. Like,
you could say hi to the wrong person in the grocery store and then they're going to think you're like in love with them, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. Yeah. It's crazy. I also have been like thinking, cause we have a dog right now and she's going to be 10. So she's like getting up there in age. But I was thinking, like, do we get a dog specifically trained
protection dog
to attack people who like try to break in our home? Because I'm just like thinking, I don't know, I just feel so exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Joey was like, yeah, we could get a dog. We could send it off to training for like months. And like that dog's sole job is just to protect.
Those are real. That's a real thing. And they're expensive. But then the people come to your house and they help you and learn how to handle the dog and this and that. Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out if you're allowed to have chickens?
I'm not.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I can't even have a play set.
What?
Yeah. Our HOA is really strict. We can't like have, especially since we're on the water, we can't have anything obstructing any views. Isn't that crazy?
Whose view would you be obstructing in your own
neighbors,
backyard?
I guess. Like the neighbors from the side who are trying to see the lake view or whatever, water view.
So did you have to have a certain kind of fence and stuff?
Yeah. Everyone has the same everyone has to have the same exact fence.
Whoa. Is your HOA expensive? Do they come and maintain the yards and stuff?
No. We just have set rules.
Whoa. I've never had an HOA, so I don't know.
Me either, sister.
Whoa.
Yeah, and the funny thing is we didn't even know that we had, one, we had HOA, and two, that we couldn't do a swing set until we told our landscape guy we wanted a swing set, and then he was like, you can't do that in that neighborhood. Like, he knew of our neighborhood.
Oh my
he was
gosh.
Like, you can't do that in that neighborhood. I was like, oh, thanks for telling me before I ordered one from Costco, you know?
Can you put a swing in your playroom?
Yeah, we're going to do swings in the playroom. Nice. And we'll do a little porch swing. But
it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, that project starts the week we move in. And they'll be done, like, within a week. Isn't that crazy?
Fun.
Yeah.
That'll be really cool.
I know. I'm excited.
But then if you ever have an empty nest, then what do you do with the, like, grandkids, I guess? I don't know.
I guess, but, like, the way it is, like, we could definitely just take it down. Yes, there's going to be, like, things hanging from the ceilings or, you know, the side of the rock climbing wall, but it's, okay, in 20 years when we're done doing this thing, like, we could take it down or we sell the house to someone who specifically wants it. But
so you don't see this as your forever home?
I just don't know.
Yeah.
Definitely forever until Barrett is 18 and wants to, like, I'm stuck here in my state until Barrett he graduates.
So you follow him to college?
Yeah, dude, literally. No, I hope. I keep telling him, like, you should go to St. Ambrose if you want to go to college. You could live at home with your mom. Joey's like, you got to stop talking to him like that. But I am being serious when I say those things.
We're serious too, like, we want to raise a stay-at-home daughter. There's no need for her to leave the house till she gets married.
Dude, that's my neighbor, Annika. That's her. I want my kids to be like Annika. She's like, she loves her family, wants to stay with her family until she gets married. That's how I'm trying to, but with all my kids, not just my girls.
Larry said, when we have boys, that they have to move out at 14. And I'm like,
oh my God, Larry.
They've got to be a man. I'm like, okay.
Do you think you guys will have different parenting styles with boys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Larry was in command of basic training, which basically means, like, all the, like, the fresh 17, 18 year olds who are joining the army or at the boot camp. He, like, was in charge of them, and he 100% openly admits, like, he treated the boys and the girls different. If a girl started crying in front of me, okay, bye, don't want to see it, like, see you later. If a boy started crying in front of him, oh God, he ripped into it.
Oh no.
So poor guys. I do think we will be treating boys and girls differently.
Yeah. Okay, should we get in? Do you want to start? So today we're going to talk about two things.
Yeah.
One, what we would do differently going into, like, when we start to have second, third, you know, when we start to have more kids than how we parented or did things with our first. Mm-hmm. Second thing we're going to talk about is parenting styles.
Oh, yeah.
Smart. What do you want to get into first, sister?
Let's talk about what we would do differently in pregnancy. Have we ever said that?
I don't know, but who cares? Let's talk about it again. You want to go first?
Yeah, I think I for sure wouldn't eat gluten in my next pregnancy because I'm already a little sensitive to it. I've done, you know, all the stool tests that tell me to avoid it, and I just... Well, the first trimester, that was like one of three things I could stomach. But then I just couldn't stop. I was just addicted. Every day I was making myself a little sourdough starter pizza. And I was just pouring the starter straight onto the pan and then covering it in whatever pizza delights I wanted. I ate that almost every day. It's so good. It's so freaking good. But I ate that almost every day. And I'm not like opposed to how much weight you gain in pregnancy, but it puffed me up. Like, I was so puffy and just uncomfortable and swollen. So I for sure would avoid gluten, like, 1,000%. But that's probably honestly one of the only things I would change.
Wow.
I had a great pregnancy. I loved it. I loved being pregnant. And I'm, like, super curious to see what it's going to be like to be pregnant and then have a little one running around. Mm-hmm. I napped hard.
Yeah.
In, you know, those first like 20 weeks, you just want to nap.
Yeah. I will be doing absolutely everything different because I wasn't crunchy when I had Barrett. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to be, you know, I'm more educated now. Mm-hmm. I just went into pregnancy blind, and honestly, it should be illegal to just be allowing people to get pregnant and have kids when they don't know anything, because what the hell are we doing?
It's true.
So yeah, I would be changing so much. Like, I took terrible prenatals and then I just stopped taking them. So I wasn't taking anything. And I would just, what?
Eat Cheerios every day.
Yeah. There got to a point where my anxiety was so bad. I was eating one bowl of Cheerios a day and that was it. I was probably consuming like 200, 300 calories a day. It's not funny to think about, but thank God Barry came out. Okay. I was definitely malnourished that third trimester for sure. And that's like when you like the one time you do up your calories.
Yeah.
I was in a calorie deficit.
Ugh. I think I ate 120 grams of protein a day, minimum.
Yes, yeah. I probably was doing that at least before my third trimester.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I will just be doing absolutely everything differently. And also postpartum differently for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask for help this time.
Yeah.
Instead of just being alone all day, every day by myself. I even talked about my mom recently. Mm. Just how like, The first four months, sweetie, you're not going to travel. You're not going to do anything. You're just like going to be at my call because you couldn't be for my first because you were still working.
Mm.
Next kid, I will definitely have the resources to help me breastfeed because I had to pump the ferret. Yeah, just so many things I'll do differently. And like also just going into the pregnancy with a sound mind of my body's made to do this because with Barrett, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die at any second. Like, I just didn't know anything about pregnancy. So it was very scary. And then I couldn't make informed decisions because I didn't have any information.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. So I was just doing whatever my OB was saying.
It's wild that that's the norm, right?
Like, yeah.
That's women do not know.
Yeah. I saw a girl that I know on Instagram, and she was posting her prenatal supplements, and she held up the Nature's Made and was like, my OB said that you need folic acid because it's way more studied than folate in pregnancy. And I'm just like,
and it is, because they say it's unethical. Now that they know it works, it's unethical to be testing folate on pregnant women.
It's just so crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I will definitely just be so much more educated second time around. And I just feel, okay, Jordan had a great postpartum, so she doesn't count. But, like, I feel like so many moms go into pregnancy and postpartum thinking, like, it's all uphill. There's nothing, like, you are, oh, it's just, I don't know, like, every new mom I talk to always tells me, like, I'm really struggling. This is not how I pictured it. I have so many friends right now who are pregnant for the first time. And they're just like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And it's just like, almost, I don't know, just like your first time is just, your second time will be so different because you'll be so much more educated. Same with me. I don't know anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's too bad that women like have to wait till their second time to be like, something needs to change. You know, even with birth, they do the same thing. And it's, something has to change. It's sad, but that newborn bubble that people talk about, it's real. Like, you can be in that newborn bliss bubble. It is a beautiful time, and it's like a time you'll remember forever. And I've heard women say if they could bottle up any sort of feeling, it's that feeling, those first like 6 weeks of just, it is truly blissful. And it's so sad that so many women, like, you hear a lot of women too, I'm not having another baby because pregnancy was so hard on me and postpartum was so hard on me. And it's just because we're lacking support and education around it.
Yeah, dude, that was me. Literally until like last year, I just was like, I'm never having another baby. And it wasn't because I don't like babies. I'm obsessed with being a mom. It's just the act of pregnancy and postpartum. Yeah. Also, I just, like, next time I have a child, I am so thankful that I don't have to go back to work, put my next baby in daycare.
I couldn't imagine having to do that, honestly. Someone asked me yesterday, I went to the reading circle at the library and my neighbor was there, and she just moved in, she has an 11-month-old, and she was like, do you have a good babysitter you like around here? I said, I have never left my daughter.
Where would I be going?
I have never left her. No, I don't. It's crazy to me. I couldn't imagine having to take them to daycare.
Yeah. I'm the same way with just So Barrett did go to daycare for a year and a half, but it was my one of my best friends, Mandy, who was like the OG crunchy mom, did the gentle parenting. Like, she was me. So that made me feel good. But yeah, when people ask, oh, do you go on trips without Barrett? Do you? I have never left that kid in my life unless it was for work the first year. I just, I've never had a babysitter for a date night or, and he's six, almost seven. I don't know. Maybe like my mom's watched him sometimes, but he just prefers to be with me. So I'm like, I'm not going to force it.
Gosh, especially at this, like at Romy's age, she can't say to whoever's watching her, like, I need my mom, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Can you call my mom?
Yeah. And I can't explain to her, like, I'll be back. I mean, yeah. I can say her, but she can't conceptualize it. So, like, I couldn't imagine. She still so very much needs me. I know every baby's temperament's different, but she's just still so needs me. And I'm just like, yeah, I love to travel. She'll just be coming with wherever I go. I don't care.
Yeah, my mom was saying, like, oh, next time the first time you and Joey have a baby, you guys should go on a baby moon. And I just looked at her and I was like, what, a baby moon plus Barrett?
Yes.
You think he would stay with you for a whole weekend? That's not.
And we'll come with too. And we'll go to the
perfect
beach.
Yeah. Like, I just can't imagine leaving him. Like, he literally needs me. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, are we too bonded? Are we too close? Like,
no.
Because the kid just is attached to me.
No. No. Yeah. I don't know. Couldn't be me. I get everybody's different, but couldn't be. I guess. I don't know. Like, one of my best friends, her mom passed away a few years ago, but she lived with them, and so she was super close with the kids. So maybe if they had someone safe like that, I don't know.
Yeah, you don't even have like family.
No, we don't even have family around.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and it's not that I don't trust my mom. I trust my mom. Yeah. I trust my son's dad's family. Like, I trust them for sure. It's just Barrett literally just prefers that, does not like when I leave.
Yeah,
so.
It has nothing to do with trust for sure. Okay, let's see some things I would do different. She got a tongue tie release at 2 weeks old, and I think I would, next time I would do more body work first and see if that helps. Because it wasn't like a severe tongue tie. Like, it was uncomfortable to nurse, but I don't know if it made that much of a difference. So, and we did chiropractor before and after, but I think I would do more body work.
Yeah. Like a holistic mother. She does exercises with her son, like puts her finger at the roof of his mouth on the tongue, like stretches. And
Midline Revolution's a really good resource for that, for anybody that's pregnant or has a tongue tie baby or whatever. But yeah, that was like really traumatizing for me, and I'm sure her too. I mean, I'm sure it hurt her. I didn't do Tylenol or anything. We just did Arnica, which the dentist actually gave us Arnica, so that was cool. But yeah, and she was only uncomfortable for that one little day, but still, I'm like, her body's gonna be holding on to that trauma. Where like, I was in the dentist's office just bawling. I'm 2 weeks postpartum, just bawling. And
what was Larry doing?
Larry got his tongue tie revised too. So he went first, and he was like, oh, no, talking like this.
Do they numb the babies?
No. Well, so Larry got a shot, but they couldn't give the baby the shot, so they did the topical numbing on her. But they, like, you know, they wrap them up all tight, and it's horrible. And she was fine, like, doing the stretches and everything after, but, like, I think I wasn't as educated as I would have wanted to be on it.
Yeah, for sure. Should we go into what our parenting styles are?
Yeah. Well, is there anything like different you would do with, like, Barrett's a little older. Is there anything different you would do raising him?
Yeah, no screen time for sure. Zero screen time. I did good about, because I turned crunchy when I was like dipping my toes when he was about 2 months. Is when I started to be like, yeah, this stuff doesn't make sense. And then I like switched all of his diapers, all of his bottles, all of his, you know, I like started to switch thing over. Yeah. So he started out, I think for his first foods I made pureed carrots myself. And like, I did like vegetables and stuff. Obviously now, next kid, I would do like sardines and meat stock and steak and all of that stuff. So I would definitely change that. But thankfully, yeah, he was breastfed for 2 years and he did eat only whole foods for those first 3 years. So it's like, I do feel good about those things. I think next baby, I would also like to set their circadian rhythm up for success and, you know, bring them outside in the morning and at night, bring them outside. So their like body realizes it's wind down time. And I just, I didn't have routines with Barrett. It was just kind of like, just go, go, go. And then sleep like crap. So I'd love to do like a loose schedule with the next baby. Obviously, like still feed on demand and we don't do cry it out or anything. But yeah, I would definitely like to have a little bit of a schedule.
Yeah. We didn't have a schedule. Yeah, we went off of like baby cues. But like I did, I got her outside in the morning and the evenings and the midday sun, and which was really harsh when she was born. But so I would only do a couple minutes here and there. But and make sure your breastfeeding has the melatonin and all that for them. So,
yeah, and I didn't know that stuff. Yeah, like I was just giving him bottles because I would pump and then put it, you know, in the fridge. So I was probably giving him like daytime milk and
parenting styles. Okay, definitely no cry it out, no spanking. I want to hold space for feelings, but like also have boundaries. You know,
yeah.
Okay, like the cutest thing happened. I've been working on daytime boundaries. This is a side story. I've been working on daytime boundaries with Booby because, like, she'll just pull, she's at that age where she'll just pull my shirt up or down when we're, like, out and about, you know? And so, like, when we're outside, I'll say, oh, if you want, and she asked for it, I'll say, if you want Booby, we have to go inside. She'll pull my hand inside. She'll say, go, go, and we'll go inside. So we were at the library yesterday, reading circle, and we were there for like an hour, and she asked for Booby, and I gave her just, like, a little. And then she asked again and again, and I said, okay, if you want Booby, like, we have to go home and have Booby. And she, like, was looking at me and just kept asking. I said, okay, we have to go home if you want Booby. So she gets up, walks across the room, and grabs my fanny pack, looks at me, reaches out for my hand, and says, go, go. So we go in the car, and the whole way home, she's going, Booby, Booby, Booby. It was so cute. But yeah, so we went home and had Booby. But yeah, when she throws, if she gets upset about it, I just try to calmly say, you know, we got to go inside, or we have to wait a little until this happens to have Booby. And so far she's picking it up, which I think is really cool because she's 15 months old. I'm like, are you a baby genius? But
that's beautiful.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I guess I'm not at the age yet where we have to do like punishments or like consequences or whatever. So what do you do for Barrett?
When Barrett was like that age, we just did redirection because it's like they don't know. Yeah. They literally don't know.
Yeah.
So he's like pulling on a Christmas stocking. Sorry, we can't play with that, but you can play with this, you know, just doing stuff like that. So it's crazy to me when I see like parents yelling at toddlers because I'm just like, what are you doing? They don't understand. Literally. They don't get it.
Like, I have a neighbor. She has like a 3-year-old and then a kid that's 16 months. And I hear her yelling at them all the time. Like just today we came home and she was putting them in the car and he was screaming and she's going, stop it, stop it. I'm like, oh my God.
That's so sad.
And I feel bad for her too. Cause like, I'm sure she doesn't want to be a mom like that. You know, I'm sure her nervous system shot. Yeah. And she's overwhelmed, but you know, take a breath.
Yeah. I think people don't realize that like we expect kids to behave perfectly and not lash out, but it's like adults can't even control their emotions.
They're kids.
Yeah. And like you're an adult and you're yelling at your kid because you can't control your own emotions. So why are you expecting them to control theirs when you can't control yours?
Yeah.
That's kind of the same thing with like when people are like, oh, we got rid of my kids. You know, the stuffy went away at one, or the passy went away at one, or the thumb sucking, like we put hot sauce on it. It's just like you as an adult can't stop vaping and you're expecting your 1-year-old to be able to get rid of their passy.
Yeah.
Grow up. Or like think like nobody thinks
Do hot sauce on their fingers.
Yeah,
I've never heard that.
Yeah, or paint them with yucky polish so that they
I've heard that. Okay, yeah. Just I don't know. Ooh, yeah, that's scary.
But my whole thing with parenting is I treat my child. Literally since he has been born, it has just been how would I want my parent to react in this moment. So if my son is crying, for example, I'm thinking, would I want to be left alone to cry, or would I want to be picked up? I go and pick him up, obviously. Same with he's hungry. Okay, maybe dinner's in an hour, but like, would I deny an adult a snack at my house if they're like, hey, I'm like, no, you have to wait. I don't know. Yeah. I just like, and I get there's a fine line in some kids if they eat a snack, whatever. Maybe that was a bad one, but like, I'm just constantly thinking of how would I want my mom to react in this moment? And then that's how I react. and we just do natural consequences. So let's say before we stop screen time, let's say Barrett turned the TV on to Curious George during the day. And like we had a rule where it was just an hour at night. So his natural consequence was that was, okay, sorry, Barrett, you chose to turn the TV on during the day. So we can't do the TV at night tonight, smart, but you can try tomorrow. Like those are the consequences that I feel like work. And same with, okay, let's say him and his buddy like get into an argument and Barrett's feelings are hurt, or, you know, Barrett does something wrong. I like to just like calmly talk about it, because if you as an adult, like if you're trying to tell someone your feelings or something happened and they're like blaming you or interrogating you, like you're probably not going to go back to them next time something happens. So I'm always thinking like, how can I react in this moment to instill that I'm a safe place to come to? Mm-hmm. So that when he's older and mm-hmm. something big happens, it's not, oh shit, I can't tell my mom. It's okay, I want to go to my mom because I know that she'll help me figure this thing out.
That's so smart. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, anytime something big, he's only six, happens, I'm always just thinking, in this moment, I can choose to react in an in a dysregulated way, or I can take a breath, calm down, and then talk about it so that it's not ingrained in his head that, oh my gosh, this big thing happened and I got yelled at. Therefore, this next time something happens, I can't go to my mom.
Yeah. Yeah. I would never want them to feel like they have to hide things from me or whatever.
Not that we're not giving a consequence for the, if he did something wrong, he does get a natural consequence. Like I said, with the TV thing.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, like I let him light a match the other day, like light a candle. And then he did it again without my permission. Mm. He got burnt and he did come to me and he was like, I lit the match and now I got burnt. Can you help me? And I was just thinking in my head, like, okay, I could choose to get pissed and be like, see, that's why you don't do it on your own. And, or I could just be like, hey bud, next time you need to ask permission, but let me help you fix, let me get the spray or whatever to like, so I just feel like, also, we have to realize that our kids are only young for so long and we're going to know them as adults longer than we ever do as when they're kids. And so, have the first 7 years been really hard and challenging to make sure I'm always in check? Yes. But I feel like it's going to make the next 40 years of his life that I have with him or whatever, like so much smoother because I chose to react in calm manners instead of freaking out.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying I'm perfect every time.
I was like, just about to say, it's hard.
There are times I yell. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard to keep your cool sometimes. Like we're humans too, dealing with our own things. But I'm especially like Romy said, you know, she got big feelings and she's realized she's got free will. So if we can't do something, she throws a fit. That's just part of development. Yeah. Right. And I just try to, I sit there with her and like, I say, oh, can you hear?
I could for a second, but now I can't. Is he still on FaceTime?
So anyways, I try to sit next to her and be like, and explain to her, like, I know it's, you're sad, but you know, and it seems silly because she's 15 months old, but I'm practicing for myself and she understands. And she does, she understands. And I said, you know, I know you're sad right now and that's okay. You can do all these things and get that out or whatever, but then we'll do this, this and this or whatever. And I just sit there with her and it's hard when there's a child screaming in your face and you're, especially when you're trying to do something else, right? I don't know, cook or something. It's hard to keep your cool, but you just got to take those deep breaths and center yourself. And yeah, I don't know what we'll do. Like there's definitely a difference, right, between gentle parenting and permissive parenting.
Yeah, exactly. You could still hold firm boundaries while respecting your child's feelings. That's my whole thing.
Exactly.
And exactly. It's just like, it doesn't make sense to me. Okay. Barrett hits another kid. So what Barrett's punishment is, I'm going to hit him. Like that just is not logical. Yeah. Like that's sending so much confusion to your kid of, okay, so I can't hit, but my mom can hit me. That's just not logical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our friends were here last week and one of them said they don't have kids and Romy was crying and he was like, you're crying for no reason. You're faking. I'm like, no, she's just got, don't forget, like, she has no way to communicate, like, this is how she's feeling, like, they don't know how to process, like, kids are not adults, right? They're not adults. But I don't know. And like, I think about, you know, when they go into their teenagers too, and like rebellion starts to happen. It's like, I want, yeah, like you said, I want to be that safe place so that we can avoid all the sneaking out and the whatever, not telling us things. But I don't know what, like, obviously things will start to change. Like, punishment starts to change, consequences start to change, whatever, as we evolve. Like, every kid's different too. I don't expect to parent every kid exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's hard for people to realize, yes, your child throwing a fit because their straw broke or whatever. We don't realize that, like, they don't know the difference between something actually traumatic happening and then small inconvenience happening. Like, their emotions can't differentiate. So yeah, it's dumb in our mind and it's whatever, but like, it's still okay to validate and be like, oh, I see you're really frustrated that this happened. Let's whatever age they are. So if they're like Romy's age, obviously I would just redirect, because I'm not gonna have a logical conversation with a baby. But like, you can label the emotion like, oh, that was so frustrating for you, how about we try to do whatever. Whereas like with Barrett's age, you know, I'm like, hey, bud, I understand you're really frustrated, but we're not going to scream about it. We could talk about it when you're ready. Mm-hmm. So like, setting a firm boundary. Yeah. That, yeah, you're not going to scream.
Yeah. Like, it's okay to be mad, but yes, we can't scream.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the emotion you're feeling, I understand, but you're not going to react in the way that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of times, if we just make the situation less serious. So sometimes Barrett will get really angry and yell, or he'll like want to punch something. And I'm like, you know what you need? We got to wiggle it out. So we'll wiggle our arms, wiggle our legs, shake our butt, like, just, you know, take away the big, I don't know, you're like releasing your aggression, but it's in a healthier way. So yeah, when Barrett will start punching the bed, I'll be like, I see you're really frustrated. Let's wiggle it out. And he loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's another thing too. Like, sometimes I'll be like, oh, like, you want a hug? Like, to comfort them? She'll say, no, I don't want a hug. And you want to respect that too, right? Like, those physical boundaries that they, because they are allowed to have their own. Like, I'm never, if a family member is going to be like, oh, give me a kiss, and she's, no, I'm not going to make her kiss, you know, someone she doesn't want to kiss. So,
no, heck no. Another thing I do with Barrett is like, this is what I've learned, right? I've been a mom for like almost 7 years. So it's just like, kids, when they're throwing tantrums or, you know, having big emotions, it's like, one, are they craving connection? Two, are you hungry? Three, are you tired? It's always one of those, I feel like. And sometimes when Barrett's like having big emotions, or he's like really frustrated or mad, he doesn't want to talk to me, I'll say, I understand you're really frustrated. Do you want me to sit here while you just, you know, you have your time by yourself?
Yeah.
And it's always a yes. He like always wants me next to him, even if he doesn't want the hug or want me to hold him. It's just, he wants to know I'm close. And I feel like in doing that, it like shows them like, okay, my mom's going to be here for me when I'm having the big emotions. And I'm not saying I just allow him to, you know, throw tantrums and go crazy, but it's like, he can still know that I'll sit here while you know, do your thing.
I'll also like never get embarrassed about my child being a child in public. Like, I'm never gonna say, you know, oh my gosh, we're in public, stop doing that, you're embarrassing me, or whatever.
Yeah,
they're figuring it out. They're figuring out how to be active members in society.
So. Yeah, one time I was in Target, this is 2 years ago, and a little girl was having really big emotions, and she was like laying on the floor, and her mom like got to her level and was just like talking calmly, like, understand you feel upset. I know you really wanted to get the Doritos, but today we're, and I started crying, and I went up to the mom.
Your inner child was healing.
Yes. And I was like, I know this is so weird of me, but I just want to say that was so amazing how you like talked her through it. And whether that mom thought I was a weirdo or not, but I was like choked up and trying to say, I think that's so awesome, because it's just, I feel like it's very rare for parents to be in tune.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of parents, especially in public, as soon as their kid is dysregulated, they're dysregulated because they're embarrassed. It's not even like their kid's really doing something that crazy. It's because they're embarrassed.
Yeah. If kids like aren't allowed to take up space in this world, like if other people are getting mad about that, like that's their problem. Yeah. That's crazy. I mean, that's crazy. Also, definitely, like, between me and Larry, like, I always want to come off as, like, a united front, right? And then if he's doing something that I disagree with, I don't want to bring that up in front of the kids. Like, we'll talk about it later, but that's another thing that
that's what Joey and I do too. Cause like, obviously, well, we don't spank or anything, but like Joey will like, you know, redirect Barrett or correct him when he's mm-hmm. doing something. But one time I forget, Barrett said something. No, Joey said something. Joey accused Barrett of something, not accused, but said, Barrett, you're not allowed to do that. And I cut him off and I was like, actually, I told him he could do that. And Barrett was like, did you just yell at Joey? Like, oh, God. So then like later we talked about, okay, in those like moments, maybe we like step aside and talk so that, you know, we don't want kids to think we're like against each other because we're supposed to be one.
I totally used to be like, oh, I went and asked my mom if I could do this and she said it's up to you or something. You never actually asked the other parent. I don't want to avoid all that, but.
Yeah.
Also, let's normalize apologizing to our kids. Hey, if we yell at them, normalize going and apologizing, explaining to them like why you were feeling overwhelmed. Don't blame them for your overwhelming feeling, but apologize and take accountability because they are humans and they deserve that too.
And it goes a long way because in our practicing of that, like that's how kids truly learn. There will be times I feel frustrated and Barrett will be like, mom, you should try to take a deep breath, or you know, like he repeats the things that I say. Like the other day, Joey made him those pasture bird chicken wings or whatever, and then the dog ate his leftovers and Barrett was like, mom, did you eat those? It's just don't lie, like it's okay if you did, I won't be upset. Like kids learn how to express emotion and like talk because of us.
The same thing, like when she gets hurt or something, I'm like, okay, let's, when you're ready, take a deep breath. And that helps when you hurt yourself. But it's just those little moments that like are going to shape who they are. And I think it's really beautiful. And
yeah, I agree.
It's like a big responsibility, but also really cool. I'm going to cry. It's also a really cool thing.
Yeah, it really is. And Joey was talking about this the other day. He's, in my head, I am constantly thinking of Barrett's future self. So what can I, like, he, you know, Joey has like a set routine of, I want Barrett to see that this is what men do. Like, men take care of the family. Men, you know, I take care of myself. I do, you know, my morning routine. And he's, because one day Barrett is going to grow up and whose habits is he going to follow? And I'm like, that is so smart, because I'm just constantly thinking in the
that is kind of why like we will raise boys and girls differently, right?
Yes,
men are men and women are women. And so I'm not talking even just like house chores, like of course the boys are going to help clean or whatever, but like they need to learn how to be leaders and make decisions and, you know, nurture their sisters and it is going to be different, and people can roll their eyes at that, but boys and girls are different. You cannot convince me otherwise.
Well, and my neighbor told me something, my neighbor who has a bunch of boys, he said, I tell my boys, like, every day there will be things that you just don't want to do and you absolutely have to do them. And so I kind of instill that with Barrett, like when he, you know, is like, I don't want to brush my teeth, or I don't, and I'm just like, Barrett, this is one of the non-negotiables that you have to do every single day. And so, maybe that in return will, like, as he grows older, okay, I have to do my laundry, I have to brush my teeth, I have, because there's so many men who are literally incompetent at doing things because they weren't taught, and I just, I don't want.
And I think that's a lot of it. Moms just want to take care of their children, right? Their boys, and they want to nurture them, so they don't teach them how to be on the, that's why I think it's important, the nuclear family is important, like a male figure and a female figure, because they both teach really great things, and I think that's just how it has to be, how it should be.
Agreed.
All right, this was a good episode.
It was. It was a good one.
All right. Subscribe, follow us on YouTube.
Can't wait to see you next week.
Bye. That's it for today's episode of Moms Unbothered. If this conversation made you think differently, question the norm, or even just feel a little more empowered in your health journey, do us a favor. Share this with another mom who needs to hear it.
If you're loving the show, the best way to support us is by leaving a quick review, subscribing, and connecting with us on social media. It helps us reach more moms who are ready to take back control of what goes on, in, and around their families. We'll be back next week with another conversation, but until then, trust your instincts, question to everything, and stay unbothered.